Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I begin tonight with a question to break through to the heart of the matter and to get to the center of the subject. Please, listen attentively. And let this query work its way into your heart and into your soul. For the answer will benefit you. The answer to the question will be of tremendous assistance. Here is the question. How easily can you articulate before others, "I am a sinner"? How freely can you speak before others, "I am a sinner"? And I don't mean a simple answer from the head that jumps in line, "Well, we all are sinners." No, what I mean is, "I am a sinner," said with brokenness and pain and grief over the truth that before the living God, I know I am a sinner. King David was trying to hide his sin with Bathsheba. He is going along with life, scheming and conniving to cover his sin. King David covered his sin with more sin and the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. Uriah carried the message from David to Joab, commander of Israel's army. When the battle rages, pull back and leave Uriah alone to be slain. Nathan the prophet was sent by the Lord to confront and rebuke David. King David did not hem and haw, but he confessed, "I have sinned against the Lord." David's confession and repentance was deep from his soul, deep from within his soul. For it says throughout the scripture, David was a man after God's own heart. Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching before the crowds that gathered for the amazing cacophony of sound that came with the rushing of the winds of Pentecost. The people hearing the message were cut to their hearts and asked what they must do. Peter's answer was to repent and believe. To the others, Peter pleaded to do the same and be saved. Repent is not a popular word in today's culture. Repent from what? I don't need to repent from anything. Morality has been morphed from clear distinctions of good and evil into a mishmash of whatever feels good, whatever floats your boat. Who are you to judge? Sin is still sin, whether the popular culture agrees or not. And sadly to say, the pervasiveness of culture's concepts and attitudes has even made inroads into the church. That's why the question I posed earlier this night is important to you and to your heart, to your soul. Do you feel broken inside and grieve over your sin? Until that moment happens, each of us can still grasp onto some part, "Well, I'm a good person." And we can still grasp onto, as we say, "Well, I don't do as others do." Or, "I'm not like," to use the words of the Pharisee, "I'm not like that tax collector." Or, I'm not like, and you can point to. We need to break down any pretense we may carry before the living God. destroying any hope in our own ability before the living God. This is to bring us to the point that we fall completely broken before our Father and cry, Lord, have mercy on me. Not a sinner, but the sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And it is also about having eyes that see others as broken in need of God's mercy. No air of superiority, but a real heart that is broken and crying over the lostness of their souls. When people are asked if they're going to heaven, they almost invariably answer, yes. And when asked why, the most common answer is, I'm a good person. And then they start listing the good things they have done. And to make their point clear, they start to list the bad things that they haven't done. You know, in this, they're demonstrating the attitude just like the Pharisee in the parable Jesus told. I've done these good things and I'm not like that and I haven't done those bad things. You see, it's the Pharisee. In other words, they deserve heaven because God owes it to them. The Apostle Paul, as he grew older, the more the depth of his sin grasped his understanding. To the young pastor Timothy, Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. In the modern church, the church of today, do we really grasp the depth of our sin before the living God? We sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do we really feel wretched? Do we really feel the kind of wretchedness John Newton felt over his life's sin when he penned those words? Feel, I mean really, really, really feel that wretchedness. Because really feeling that wretchedness brings you nearer to the tax collector in the parable Jesus told. Broken people, hurting people, are the ones more open and ready to receive the grace of God. For they have no hope in and of themselves. They have neither resources nor strength. Remember, Jesus ate with the sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, and other outcasts were with whom he would often eat meals. Jesus touched the ceremonially unclean leper. He sat with the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus had compassion on the crowds and met their needs of healing and even feeding them. But the greatest need was the need for forgiveness of sins. That could only be provided through his sinless death on the cross. Jesus' perfect righteousness could only be made ours through his perfect obedience of dying on the cross. Our Maker, Son of God, died for our sins, his creature's sin. Through that great act, the righteousness of God was made available to us. The righteousness of God can only be ours when we lay aside any claim of righteousness of our own, any claim of righteousness on our own part and ability, and we trust in Jesus and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We can hold no confidence in and of ourselves. We can have no claim of righteousness on our part. We can have no claim that we deserve it because at heart we are good and loving people. There is nothing that we can say or do by which we can lay any claim, even a scintilla of righteousness of our own. As the Word of God declares, it's only when we place our confidence in the finished work of Jesus on the cross are we declared righteous. In other words, when we cry out for God's mercy and trust Jesus, when we repent and believe on Jesus, that is when we are justified, which means we are declared righteous in God's eyes. Weep. Weep over your sin. Beat your chest in anguish over your sin. Cry out for the mercy of God. As the tax collector in the parable was declared justified before God by Jesus, you too will be declared justified before God. So have no confidence in yourself. No confidence in your own righteousness. Place all of your confidence in the mercy of God, and you will be declared justified in God's eyes, and you will be given the righteousness of God. It's Him. Him alone. And it's a free gift to you. Amen.